Welcome, welcome. How's it going?
Well, I'm okay.
Hey, you dare leave your barricades in France to take a visit to Amsterdam?
Well, yeah, there's lots of nice things happening around, so why not?
So, how's it going over there?
Over there, you mean like in Dijon, France?
Yeah, let's start local and then broaden and broaden. You live in Dijon in a squat?
Okay, true. Yeah, I live in Dijon in a squat called Autonomous Space Les Tanneries, which has been going for like 4 years now. And
4 years, that's not so bad.
Well, yeah, that's quite okay since there is very few squats in France and especially in small cities like Dijon, which is one of the rare cities, I would say, that has been able, like over the last few years, to develop kind of a squat movement, because there is nothing such as political squats like in the Netherlands and France. There is very few squats, and yeah.
But basically, how should I imagine Dijon? How big a city is this?
Well, this is quite a small city with few streets in the city center, really tiny city center, a bit of suburbs, but there's a university.
How many inhabitants, more or less?
Well, it's 250,000, I would say, but I have big problem with numbers. So
it's a middle city. It's not a really big one.
No, it's not a big one, no. So, yeah, basically, there's been a growing squat movement over the last few years, which started with this place I'm living in right now, which is called Les Tanneries, and which allowed some more projects to emerge. And there's been, squats for housing, but which were always connected with some political or more public activities around, like, feminist issues, but also, like, anarcho-feminism and stuff, which has been evicted last March. And there was pretty nice resistance at that occasion. Like, it took quite some time for the cops to evict them.
It's a French word for paint bomb.
Bombe de peinture, though we didn't use them at the time. Yeah, I know they're pretty popular here. Well, and there was another squad called Pamplemousse, which has grapefruit, which has been running for like 2 years before it got evicted by some anti-terrorist troops in
anti-terrorist groups. My God, man!
They sometimes use them, for squats in July, and which was the place where the computer lab called Print emerged, which is kind of a Nasky-like place, which is being sorted out right now in France. That's it.
For the rest, you're saying, okay, I mean, this sounds very much like our situation here in Amsterdam. City's a little bit bigger here, not so much bigger, no, three times the size about. But you were mentioning that there is not so much of, let's say, a squatters movement in France.
No, there isn't.
What are all the other cities like? I mean, you've got really big cities in France, like Paris or Lyon or Marseille.
Indeed.
I mean,
how
should I imagine it there?
Okay, so numerically talking, there is a lot of squats, of course. There is a lot of poor people being forced, I would say, to live in squats just before they don't have a proper way to house themselves any other way. But this is mostly disorganized. So if I am into putting people into categories, which I don't like to do too much, but well, let's
just
do it a try.
Just for the simplicity.
Yeah, there's three main categories of squatters. There's like, okay, poor people, immigrants who don't have a choice, like people without papers who've been organizing inside movements lately. And yeah, so this is kind of organized sometimes, but you get this first category who squat out of necessity. Another category, which would be like the political squatters, which can be a bit into the first category, of course, because like when you choose not to work, if you try to run another way of life, you have to have free housing as well, but which is a bit particular since there's, just like here, activities coming out of this, like vegan restaurants, concert halls, lectures, conferences, workshops and stuff. And the third category, which is pretty new, but which has grown bigger over the last years as well, and especially in cities like Paris, which is like art squats or artist squats, which are kind of a big problem, but yeah.
How are they a big problem?
Okay, so they're not a big problem for everybody. Like, they're not a big problem for the state. And on the contrary, we could say that the state says a big thank you to the squatters' movement since...
So do they here, by the way, but that's some other story.
Okay. They've been, since the beginning, trying to negotiate Their situation and to get out of illegality, whereas most political squats made it a point to be illegal and to experience some kind of fracture with the law and the state system. The artist squatters usually want to climb inside society, but using a back door, you know, because just they don't have the proper means to just start with huge galleries and money-making things. They just start little and grow bigger.
Give them the opportunity, they will.
Totally. So why they've been kind of a trouble for the political squats? The reason is that they tried to organize in year 2000 through an inter-squat network to have a platform which would be given to the government and which would make the squatting legal, basically. So we could think at first that this would create a situation like in the Netherlands or Germany or maybe Switzerland where it's, well, at least for Netherlands
and Switzerland. It's not legal here either, man.
Yeah, okay.
As illegal as in France or as legal as in France.
Okay, let's say in Switzerland then, where it's kind of legal to squat and pretty much easier. The thing is that we were very scared of this as political squatters because we thought this would serve, state and owners in general to evict, like, really quicker the other political squats, since there are some squats which are legalized and which are, well, respectful for the state, and that they can say, okay, we have to evict those bad, dirty squatters because they don't want to have a dialogue, they don't want to be constructive, whereas these other squats want to, and they just are not into doing some nasty political actions.
Let me ask a question here. I mean, there is a lot of artist squatters here in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and in fact, we might have some internal differences on how important art is, and some people say art's nice, but not in my street. Other people say you have to paint your bedroom. But in fact, we all work together quite well. The most prominent example is definitely the Film Academy, a couple of blocks away from here, and they're a bunch of artists, and they're about art, and they have been legalized. But when the Animal Liberation Front wanted to have their congress here, they said, of course you can have your congress here. And when the cops said, yeah, but, the artists told the cops, fuck you. Would they in France, or would they not?
They would definitely not. Like, there's been pretty huge problems in demonstrations, like, with... Well, okay, this leads us to another subject, which is the laws that are coming to France right now. And there's been a few attempts to have a conversions between, like, artist squatters and more political squatters, and it didn't work out so well. So I was talking about repressive laws, and I think you have kind of a similar problem here. Like, I'm looking at this poster over here, which calls for a demonstration against repression, if I can translate it well.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
basically.
Tomorrow.
Okay. And we've been having, some very repressive measures in France since September 11, basically, with the left government, who was in place by then, having a set of laws called LSQ, which means Loi sur la Sécurité Quotidienne, and which...
The law about the daily security.
Yeah, that's it. Which basically gives all power to the police, like facilitating police raids and seizures of material, and which was a great occasion, generally speaking, to have all those tiny little bits of laws that they wanted to pass before but didn't, well, manage to do because of demonstrations and stuff, but thanks to terrorism, they could. For example, they managed to forbid rave parties, which, as everybody knows, is a place for terrorists to go and dance all night.
But wait a second. I mean, as far as I understand the Taliban, they're not only against dancing, but also against music. So they're the terrorists, right? Not the ravers. How does this...
Yeah, indeed. Well, anyway, if you're into comparisons, these set of laws called ASQ looks a bit like the Criminal Justice Bill that was passed a few years ago in England. So it's like, you're forbidden to dance on music which has repetitive beats.
What kinds of beats does classical music have?
Well, yeah. And what about cops beating people and producing repetitive beats? This is another question. Anyway,
it's not so regular.
Powers to the police. And as well, some first laws against free internet. They had these laws which force internet service providers to keep logs of all internet activity of their users for 1 year.
We have that too here. You know that. You have heard of the law Bob. It sounds like in Twin Peaks.
Okay.
And means that every internet provider in the Netherlands has to place a little black box so that the government can eavesdrop on whatever.
Okay, well, we didn't have it in France until then. And there's another interesting law that's been passed on cryptographic tools. Like, if you're using such software as GNUPG or PGP, you have to give a copy of your keys to the cops.
You have already?
No, of course not. And
Why not? Change a bit.
It's just a question of trust, I would say. And if there's, an investigation on terrorism or basically anything, and if the cops go and ask you for your keys, you have to give your keys to the cops, otherwise you're considered a potential terrorist and you can go to prison for this. So just imagine if you lost the passphrase of your key, or if somebody created a key for you and uploaded it on the key server. You're just in deep shit. And the interesting thing about it is that it is a major change to the French law, which used to consider you were innocent and you're proven guilty, when it's becoming exactly the contrary. You're supposed to be guilty until proven innocent, which in that particular case cannot be done.
So you're a potential terrorist and you can go to jail for that, not for placing the bomb, but for having an idea that could possibly lead to you placing a bomb, or just like sending an email that they can't read.
Exactly, for just using tools that are suitable for doing basically anything, just as driving a car can be used to rob a bank, but can also be used to do other things.
LSQ there is laws against raves that end up in tear gas mists, I understood, from travelers to France. There is a law against using cryptography and like passing information around the internet. I also understood that there is quite a large portion in this law that is considered as to be a law against the poor. How about this part?
We're not talking about the same law exactly. Like this law I'm talking about, LSQ, has been done by the left-wing government, well, so-called left-wing government, which is quite important to stress, because we've been having a pretty new situation in France in last April when an extreme right-wing candidate called Le Pen, which you already know, has been not elected, but he kind of won the first round of elections.
He says, "I'm against the French Revolution."
Yeah, indeed.
I heard that.
Well, we had two really nice candidates. One candidate who contributed to destroy May 68, which is Chirac, because he was... Yeah, well, he was very active in the right wing by the time, he still is.
The other one went out to destroy July 1798. Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so two huge destroyers in the first round of elections, and okay, it ended up in huge mobilizations to promote citizenship and such things. Like, anyway, not to have an extreme right wing government in France, so Le Pen lost, but Chirac won. And Chirac is not way better than Le Pen. And his new prime minister, called Sarkozy, had this new...
I thought that he's a minister of inner affairs?
He's a minister of security, because there was a new minister which was created for the occasion. What has to be stressed as well is that...
What's the difference between the Ministry of Security and inner affairs?
Well, it's, I don't know, like... Basically, one deals with money and another one deals with a feeling of insecurity that has been created upon the population through these last elections. And this is the important thing to stress. It's that since September 11, we've been having in France this huge campaign to promote, like, security. Nobody knows what security is, but everybody knows that it needs security. And
For everybody who doesn't know, it's called Veiligheid. And in Netherland, we don't know either.
Okay, that's quite reassuring in a way. We got these huge campaigns that were promoted both by the left-wing government and the right-wing, and so everybody agreed on having security, which like kind of led an extreme right candidate to being nearly elected, because like security has always been the extreme right wing's preferable options. And anyway, this Sarkozy minister of security, had this new set of laws that go beyond LSQ and are called LSI. So now it stands for Loi sur la sécurité intérieure.
And the laws about internal security.
That's it. And, well, they just do the same as LSQ, but it becomes clearer that this is a war on the poor. In these laws, it is forbidden to squat. It is forbidden to be a prostitute, and it is forbidden to be a gypsy, for example.
Well, forbidden to be, they wanted to outlaw prostitution in France.
Well, officially, it is a way of fighting the mafia. But the thing is that cops do not attack like the heads, but they attack prostitutes in the street, like tear gassing them and stealing condoms from them and stuff like this. This has been done already over the last few years, of course. Like, but there was no law to cover this, and now this is kind of official. So officially, they say they want to fight against those, you know, these prostitution networks coming from Eastern countries. But like, yeah, in the streets, they fight prostitutes and they prevent them from living.
So it's basically a law that allows the cop to terrorize the prostitutes on the street in the hope that the mafia will then stop.
I don't think they have this hope, but I think it is part of a wider cleaning process. They want to have a clean country, and they want to bring back some kind of moral order. Like, it is said the law, it's not said in the law that it is forbidden to be a prostitute, because it is not. But it is forbidden to publicly do a sexual proposition to someone in the street. And which means you can't talk about sex anymore in the street, being
what
a bit open.
What do you talk about then? I mean, how are you supposed to...
well, I don't know. I haven't experienced it directly. And if you're having, if you wear a skirt or something like this, which seems to be provocative for the cops, you can be arrested. And this is basically it. Like, this is called racolage.
Imagine you wear this on a rave.
Yeah.
So terrorist, prostitute, fucking hell.
Indeed, I can't imagine. So, well, yeah, this is really the moral order, I would say. Besides this, like, most of the prostitutes that will be victim of this are poor as well. So a war on the poor and a war on squatters as well.
Hey, this leads to, I mean, I understood from your overview about the groups of squatters that... about the groups of squatters that they were, that the squatting law was possibly not aimed at the artists or the politically active squatters, but at the third group, at the biggest group, I understand, by far, people that squat out of necessity.
Mm. Well, basically...
How should I imagine these, and how is this law related to it?
Well, of course, they will be they will be stricken, like, way harder than any one of us. Mainly because they're not so organized, and well, it's like not so easy to create a confrontation which has you win some points. The thing is, officially, again, because okay, this whole set of laws has an official side and an underground side, if I can say it like this. Officially, this law is intended to fight the mafia again. Like this minority of so-called squatters who occupy empty buildings and put a new lock and just go and sell the flats to some super poor people like illegal immigrants and stuff like this. So officially it is meant to combat this, and maybe it will a bit, but I think, well, it is mostly a law to comfort owners that they won't have to worry about all their empty properties again.
But I understood that this part of the law could not be passed as projected in the beginning, thanks to the effort of some other social group called Droit au Logement. Can you explain a little bit what they're about and what they are doing?
So Droit au Logement is a group that's been fighting for some years towards reducing the amount of evictions and towards having, I would say, human evictions. They're no revolutionary group, but they've been able to help some homeless families to find a place, sometimes through squatting. But I wouldn't say they're really part of the squat movement, as they try to reduce squatting a lot by finding some really legal solutions for anybody and participating in governmental process as well. But on this particular issue, this law, which they also thought it was a war on the poor, they indeed did some actions and had part of the law to be removed. So it means squatting will not be forbidden as a whole, but that the law will stress on those people who just sell squatted places to some really poor people again.
Well, you know, if the law doesn't forbid me, you call me and I'll take a trip to France with my steel fucking pipe.
Well,
don't rent squats to anybody. Rawr.
Well, cool to see that you're still confident, but I think this law will have some side effects, and this is it. We've been seeing this basically since April. Cops feel like way more confident, and even though you can try to use the law as a trick to prevent players from being evicted, like if the cops are really determined and if we want to play this cowboy game, you know, it has to do with huge mobilizations and being a lot to prevent this from happening. And as I was saying, there is no such big organized squat movement in France. So, unfortunately, I think this law could help having squats.
Now, I'm just hearing from my rédacteur en chef that we have to give the other half hour to some other issue, which is very pressing. People in Iraq do not only get evicted, they get bombed. Well, we wish the French squatters, the artist squatters, the political squatters, the homeless people, and Droit au Logement, a lot of success in their resistance against these horrible laws against poverty. Just because you make a law against poverty, you will not get any richer or any better. I hope you can, with all the differences that you have amongst each other, still remain solidaric, at least a little bit.
We'll try to through mobilization. There has been a bit of a convergence with some countrywide mobilizations against these laws, and this is this is a nice start. Hope it's going to work out, but yeah.
Well, as far as May 68 is concerned, when you erect the barricades, please let us know in Amsterdam. We come as well. And if you squat the Bastille to talk about 1789, well, I hope that we will get mobilized. And, oh, yes, we will broadcast on these radio stations. Yeah, a lot of strength to L'Etannerie à Dijon. And, well, ASCII and L'Etannerie, one front. Thanks for coming. Thanks for talking.
Well.